Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Premier Non-League Podcast, episode 56, brought to you with Tackle This Together, our proud charity partners. Trev and Chris here tonight, but firstly, Trev, we've just got to wish Chris happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Christopher.
I think that's dedication to the cause, that he's on his actual birthday, he's joining us for the podcast. So I actually messaged Trev earlier when he sent the email. I said, oh, I think it's Chris's birthday today, seeing on Facebook, he might not be. He goes, no, he's already replied saying see you tonight. So, Chris, yeah, happy birthday, dedication.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you, everybody. I'm enjoying a glass of pale ale. What better way to spend your birthday than talking about non-league football? Not much better than that, is it?
You mean you weren't going to save to spend it with me and Trev?
Well, the company comes with the discussion, isn't it?
There we go. Well, I think we can raise a glass. No, happy birthday. Did you have a good day yesterday, mate? You said you celebrated.
Yeah, we did a little bit of that yesterday, just with a view to today being so busy for all of us, the whole family being really busy with work and other commitments. So we decided to have a little bit of food and a little bit of drink last night and opened cards and gifts and things. So, yeah, it's been smashing.
Yeah, no, well, and did Shields bring you a birthday win on Saturday?
No, they bloody didn't. And that's another thing.
Well, we'll catch up on roundups towards the end of the podcast. I'm just going to dig it out a bit. But I thought we'd start off with quite important this week. If we got FA Cup replays coming up on TV, haven't we? We've got Cray Valley Paper Mills versus my lovely team, Charlton. And we've got Horsham versus Walsall. I think I just want to touch on Horsham.
Barnsley.
So where am I getting Walsall from? No, that's because Worthing would have had Walsall in the next round. That's why I'm getting it wrong. My apologies. Barnsley. Trev, we've spoken about it, obviously, because it affects us down here. We've heard a lot about it in a local press. But Chris, I'm not sure if you've seen it. I know we've put a little bit in the group occasionally, but Horsham have obviously sold out their replay against Barnsley, which was come to fully expect. Now, understanding that, okay, it's the internet, but it's like local pages, not just football pages, local like Horsham pages and stuff, because I used to live up that way. They kind of, it's really hard to say, because they kind of hashed up the ticket sales. There's people that have sponsored players for years that are pitch side sponsors that haven't got tickets. People that went to Barnsley all the way up there on a Friday night, which we know is difficult. And they sent a good, what was it, about 500 odd people, Trev, went up there on a Friday night. Amazing support. Yeah. Even had the opportunity to get tickets. Because firstly, they put them on sale on Tuesday night's game against Chichester in the Sussex Senior Cup. Now, gents, from my point of view, it's very hard as a non-league club at that level to have any sort of like ticketing knowledge. But if you were in charge of ticketing for such an important game, Chris, I'll go to you first. What would you have done? Like, so Shields would probably have the technology to do it because we know they're much advanced. But say if they weren't, say if they were this back in the Northern Premier and they hadn't been advanced as they have been over the years, they had a big replay against someone from the South in, you know, League One or something. How would you have done it to satisfy those fans?
So the initial window would be season ticket holders and sponsors. Mm-hmm. They would get first refusal, season ticket holders in particular. Then they would, it's normally in the past done three windows. There used to be a members club and the members used to get next refusal, if you like. That's not there anymore, but season ticket holders would always get first window. Sponsors as well. And then it would be, there would be at least a 24-hour window for season ticket holders, minimum, before going into general sale. So season ticket holders and sponsors would get their chance to get tickets. And if they missed, they could still get them through the open public open window. But that's how Shields would do it.
Trev, what would you say if you were sort of in charge of ticketing at step three at Horsham? What would you say you had done?
It's difficult because Crow Valley have had the same problem as well, which I've seen this evening as we record on a Monday. And obviously both replays would be over and done with by the time the pod comes out. But see, this is where I'd like the FA to step in and guide clubs, give them advice. These type of games don't come around for everybody. And I think, I can't remember if you and I and Gaz had a conversation, James, about how would Worthing do it on the back end of that as well, because we were talking about databases, weren't we? Because obviously the bigger clubs, like at Charlton, you've said, you know, have the points system, and, you know, all the Premier League clubs do it as well, but you can't operate that in non-league. It's impossible, but such small capacities, it's difficult to please everyone. And Chris is right in season ticket holders come first.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, player sponsors, I think, is a very grey area because, you know, I've sponsored Barnet players in the past, and I've done it again for the last two or three years. And I don't think that gives me any priority over anybody else that goes and watches a game. I choose to put my money into something like that. I think that's a little bit not quite, you know, that's one of those grey ones where, you know, how do you satisfy those people? But I think just where, I mean, Horsham's is what, 2,000, I think, just under theirs is. And Crow Valley have been given 1,500 as a set limit by the police as well. And, you know, again, what the FA doing, but standing by and just allowing them to get on with it. And then all of a sudden there's a bit of hoo-ha, which you expect, because these clubs are not averse to doing it. They're volunteers.
Yeah, of course. If you look at season ticket holders, if you look at someone like, say for instance, Cray Valley, I don't know, they get crowds of what 350?
No, they're about 120 to 150 is their average.
Right, okay, so 150 out of that, in terms of season ticket holders, it would be negligible as to how many there would be.
100%.
You're never going to please 150 people.
No.
Because you just can't. If people can't afford season tickets, or for whatever reason choose not to buy a season ticket, that doesn't mean they're any less of a supporter. However, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
There's a big hoo-ha at the moment in the Premier League with Newcastle United, with their loyalty system away. Don't know if anyone saw it at the weekend. The away section at Bournemouth, there was a lot of empty seats, people just buying tickets just to get loyalty points but not bothering to travel down.
Oh.
So they've bought tickets for the match purely to get loyalty points for future whatever, and they just haven't gone. Yet there's supporters who want to travel, who are desperate to get tickets, can't get them.
That's awful.
You know, so it's a really difficult one. The only line you can draw is season ticket holders. As long as you look after them, it's very difficult. There's never going to be a right answer. Never, ever.
I think
not unless clubs start, and it's going to be impossible, but not unless clubs start to have electronic scanning where it logs personal details so that then the database is filled, and then the database then sends out invitations by email to supporters, right? You've been to 25 games this season. You've never missed a game. You've got the chance of a ticket. That's impossible. So you're never going to please anybody.
Yeah, I think what we've got to remember about the game with Cray Valley and Charlton is that they're very close to each other. So that's another reason what they've said tonight, Trevor, as you've probably seen as well. They kept it very quiet when it went on general sale because they'd heard stories of Charlton fans wanting to get tickets in the home end. And quite rightly so, I think that would have happened because I think Charlton got 250 tickets.
Something like that.
So, you know, I was at the game against Portsmouth on Saturday, and there were people I've known for years that go week in, week out, didn't have quite enough points. And that goes on to it again, Chris, saying like, you know, with the point system, like Charlton, a lot of the teams in League One are relatively southern, you know, sort of Midlands. Yeah. There's not too many up north. So it's easy to travel. But, you know, someone that goes to pretty much every game but hasn't been able to go to one or two, hasn't been able to get a ticket, but because if Newcastle fans, they do it, they got that ticket to go all the way down to Bournemouth, it's going to say, oh, they went to Bournemouth. Maybe they need to incorporate some sort of national, it's a Football League deal or Premier League deal, a national system, see they've scanned into the ground or something, you know?
Yeah. It's impossible. At any level, probably below Championship. It's impossible. I remember in 2017, South Shields were going for the league title, which they eventually won, and we were playing North Shields, a big local derby, and it was all ticket, and my brother-in-law lives in North Shields, so he went to get me my tickets. He got 6 tickets, you know. So technically, I got home tickets.
Yeah.
So we're all guilty. We'll all do everything we can to get to a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to what I said earlier on. You must look after your season ticket holders. That's it.
100%. I mean, I think with as I know definitely, Trevor, you know that I've started sorting out the travel with the Supporters Association for Worthing for away travel match day because the club don't want to do it anymore. And we use Ticket Pass now, which is what a lot of non-league clubs have been using. It's an ethical ticketing provider. They pay half the booking fees to a charity of your choice or the club's choice, and that's what Worthing use for their tickets. I haven't delved into it in too much detail, but it'd be interesting to see if, you know, at the end of the season, if Worthing, for example, get to another playoff semi or something important, you know, FA Trophy final or something like that, and people want transport, would we be able to look to see who's booked the most tickets over the season by just searching the amount of bookings? Because there are booking tools in there. And that's what I think the clubs could have done. But it, again, it takes time. It's all volunteers, especially at Horsham. There's probably maybe one full-time position at the club bar outside the footballing side. Mm-hmm. I might even be wrong. There might even be one of those. But as we know, Johnny, who used to be on the podcast with us, he was a commercial manager, but that wasn't a paid position and that wasn't full-time at all. So take someone to sit there scrolling through these accounts if it's not easy to see, oh, John Smith's booked 10 times this season. He hasn't got a season ticket, but we should give him one. Can you imagine the complication of it?
Yeah. Hugely, hugely difficult. And the only, obviously, the only consolation is the fact that it's on TV.
100%.
Yeah. Which would probably be a better view, probably. You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes me quite happy that Worthing did get knocked out by Alfreton, because we wouldn't have been on TV then, would we? Because I think with Charlton and Cray Valley and Horsham and Barnsley, I think I don't think we would have been on TV. But we're all of Sussex, you could say, Trevor, probably behind Horsham, I'd say, for this weekend. But what's this week? I'm really hoping of a cup set, and you know, I think it could happen. Where do you think the result's going to go?
Which one, Tuesday or Wednesday or both?
Well, let's talk about the Horsham one as we're talking Sussex wise first.
I think Horsham, well, despite them losing to Hashtag at the weekend at home, I think that was a little bit one of those. I'm not surprised they lost it, because there's going to be more than an eye on the Tuesday night game. Mm. And, you know, it's massive for them. Two cup sellouts at home after Dorking in the last round and Barnsley in this, 25,000 in the bank from the TV as well. You know, really fantastic for them. You know, we've met Dom. I spoke to him before the Dorking game as well. Messaged him after he came back from Barnsley as well. And that, you know, he's been there, what is he? I think 10, 11 years, I think.
As a head coach.
You know, which is unheard of as well these days. So, you know, to deliver the FA Cup first round twice in two seasons, their crowds are rising. I hope they get a result on Tuesday night. And the shit showed in the first game, though. Doesn't matter if they go behind, doesn't matter if they go in front, you know, they've got the ability to pull it back.
It'd be unbelievable. And then if they get through to the next round, they've got Sutton United, am I correct in saying? Yes. Which is another team which could produce a see them in the third round.
So they are struggling. Sutton United are struggling badly in League Two. So, yeah.
Favourable tie for them. I mean, I think for Sussex, it'd be amazing. You know, it's just, you know, we were hoping to do a little bit in the FA Cup with Worthing. Obviously, we'll touch on them later on in the podcast. But for Horsham, we're all behind them. It was embarrassing for me as a Charlton fan to watch us. I know, Trev, you would have been. And you know what? To be honest, as I said, I was quite gracious in it. I said, you know, fair play to them. I was actually quite happy for them because, you know, Charlton, I think Michael Appleton, 11 changes from the week before. He kind of, a lot of people said he was a bit insulting of Cray Paper Valley. You know, that he didn't show them respect they deserved.
I think the fact he had to bring on Alfie May and Miles Leeburn to try and force a result tells you that he got it a bit wrong. It maybe taught him a lot about his 11 players he did put out there. Sam Walker, actually, who's in goals, and ex loanee at Barnet from quite a few years back, a Mad Dog loan signing. And Grey Valley had their chances to win it, so did Charlton. I don't think Charlton would be quite so, let's say, respectful in the on Wednesday evening. I could be wrong, but you know, Cray Valley have lost two games this season, Kent Senior Cup and the London Senior Cup, where they put out understrength teams in both games, haven't lost a league game, haven't lost an FA Trophy game, haven't lost an FA Cup game. And from a side where the management team came in the summer, only kept 8 players from last season, you know, to have that start going into the middle of November is just something else, really.
Well, it's a huge local derby for them, no matter what. Like, yeah, we're not going to beat around the bush here. They're not rivals. They're not. They're just local, you could say, a local rivalry in a cup that means a lot to Cray Paper Valley. And, you know, Charlton would probably want it to sort of see if we could get a Premier League team at the Valley in the third round or vice versa. Like, we went up to Old Trafford in the Carabao Cup in January this year. But, I mean, it was embarrassing, and I think didn't show respect. And I was quite happy. Obviously, Kevin Lisby, who was one of Charlton's legends, his son played for or plays for Cray, and he was the cause of the own goal, really, wasn't it, that they scored? So, you know, fair play to him. And if history could repeat itself, I fully expect, I wouldn't be surprised if another cup set, because, you know, they're playing at Cray's ground. You know, they're not going to be used to playing. I mean, yeah, we know Chris Noseby, Sunderland, that there's some league grounds in League One that are pretty non-leaguey anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that is really non-league. They're going to be so up for it. Those players have got nothing to lose, whereas Charlton have got more. Charlton have got people missing for the international break as well, because that's coming up this weekend. So it's not going to be a full strength. We played Portsmouth at the weekend, which I was lucky enough to be able to go to. Last minute change of heart because I didn't have to work. And a shout out to, I really apologise, I forget his name, but he got off the train in Fratton, and I just asked one of the guys where the away pub was, his directions. He, "Do you support Worthing?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Thought I recognised your voice." I was like, "Do I really have that much of a distinctive voice, guys? It's not like Timmy Mallet or something like that." what's the high pitch one? And he goes, "Yeah,
Joe Pasquale."
Joe Pasquale. I don't think it's that bad, is it? And he goes,
"That's
listened."
Be your new nickname,
yeah, Joe Pasquale, Squeaky James. And he goes, "I listened to your Rebel Yell one and the Premier Non-League podcast." I was like, "Bloody hell!" I mean, you go to an EFL game, you get off one train. And yeah, okay, fair enough, it was from Worthing, but it was quite nice when you hear things like, and Trev said you should got a photo, but I did put a little tweet out and a shout out to him, so thank you. I should have got a photo, but I was not embarrassed, but you know that kind of thing, like you don't expect it at sort of a, it's like if you went to Sunderland, Chris, and someone came up and said, "Oh, you did a Shields podcast and commentary and stuff," but it's kind of like, "Oh, thanks for," and he was complimenting it, he really was. He said he loves listening to it. He's only got into non-league in the past year, he's gone to Worthing a couple of times, he found our podcast through, it was actually, he said he saw the PNLP Live advertised, and he said to me, "I was so gutted when he announced the sound quality," and because he goes, he was so looking forward to listening to it because he really likes Mark White. He really likes, you know, Horsham because he lives in Billingshurst, which isn't far. But shout out to that man. I apologise if I forgot your name. Probably one too many beers on Saturday and the celebration of not losing away to Fratton Park again. But Pompey, that weekend before, also suffered an embarrassment in the FA Cup. Knocked out by Chesterfield. And Trev, I think Chesterfield, again, were a brilliant team that day and it fully deserved the points. Their goalkeeper let them down again, I think, Portsmouth.
Yeah, no points, though. It was the FA Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'll just touch on, actually, obviously, Barnet played away at Chesterfield on Saturday as well. And a lot of their fans were really complimentary afterwards, saying we're the best team that they faced this year. And the fact that I think Portsmouth unbeaten.
Portsmouth unbeaten in the league, yeah.
They thought we were better than Portsmouth, which is, you know, saying something else. I wasn't that surprised. Again, Chesterfield at home, one, they've got a good home record. Two, they've got a budget that's better than the National League. It's at least League Two, if not League One. So, you know, there's every chance as well they're going to eclipse Notts County and Wrexham for points this year, which said something, because those two were streets in front of everyone else last year. So, maybe the only surprise was Chesterfield didn't do it slightly more convincingly, maybe.
Mm. It was a good game. I remember watching it. I felt sorry for a couple of Portsmouth / Worthing fans, I know, at the Grand. You know Adam Grand, Trev? He's
no.
One of the ground hoppers there, so he's got quite often posts on that ground hopping page. But he came up for the Worthing game against Alfreton, saw us lose 2-0, stayed up overnight because Portsmouth were playing Chesterfield the next day. So you see them, saw them lose. He goes, I don't know why I bothered. He was gutted. And then he went to the Wrexham game at night to try and cheer himself up, and that didn't even help. So a long wet weekend in the FA Cup. But nice to see some shocks, as per usual. And hopefully this week will be. So, and to be fair, I put my hands up. If Cray Valley beat Charlton, I'll be buzzing for them. I really generally would. And that's just for the love of non-league. But
from a selfish point of view, I don't want them to go through because Steve McKim, Cray Valley's manager, who I know very well.
And friend of Trevor.
for 2 or 3 years. FA Cup weekend, we're up in London for my birthday. And for the last couple of years, Steve's a London cabbie for people that don't know.
And
he does tours around London of all the lights. And I've done it for the last couple of years, I think, as well. So we're up in London that weekend. So I'm hoping, actually, they get knocked out. So from a selfish point of view, on the Sunday evening, it won't interrupt what we're doing at the weekend, because it's already scuppered my plans on a Saturday with Barnet not being at home to Dagenham and Redbridge in the National League, but away at Newport County. So the Cup's done enough mess to my weekend.
Chris, it's all about me. And we've got Chris here on his actual birthday on our podcast, and you're moaning that you won't get Christmas lights because your mate Steve McKim might be in the next round of the FA Cup.
You know what? Christ. If I get through, though, absolutely fantastic. I'm really delighted.
Who would they have again?
Can't think who they do now. They're away from home, I think, aren't they? They're definitely not home anyway. The Ramsgate by AFC Wimbledon. But no, I mean, he's a fantastic guy. I thought he was a bit harshly treated by both Tunbridge and Carshalton the last two summers as well. So, every single week his stock rises. And after this weekend, they take on Hampton and Richmond in the FA Trophy from the National League South. They've got a chance of another scalp. Yet again, so doing really well.
They'll play Gillingham. So it'll be a Kent, sort of Kent, South East London derby for Charlton. It'll be the same for Cray,
Cray
really.
Valley,
It's like we can't escape that southern east, south east region of London and Kent, can we? But good luck to all the teams. FA Vars, Chris, you wanted to mention a couple of shocks and results this past weekend, as you said.
Yeah, brilliant result in the North East for Wickham from the Northern League. They beat Bury 1-0 in the second round of the Vars. And in any event, it was a tremendous result. But when I saw the Bury team sheet, there's players in that side who were playing Step 3 last year. And for Wickham to do that against a team with Step 3 players, one in particular, Gaz Pete, the left-back, he was at Atherton Colliery's last year, a real thorn in the side for South Shields in the last two or three seasons. What a great result. And it's great for Wickham because they've got a really passionate committee, a lovely fan base. They're a good club. And they've been drawn at home again in the third round to Earlham, which is another, it's a winnable tie. So it's just rewards. I mean, there's still four or five North East teams in the Vars this year, which for the last year or two hasn't been the case. But Wickham, hats off. I'm absolutely thrilled for them. Brilliant. Brilliant.
So it's nice to see when, you know, especially as we say, Bury, we've all followed the story of Bury, haven't we? And seen that, you know, happy for them to be up. But it's kind of like some of these teams that reform, they think they're going to absolutely, you said, what was it? Step 3 players have gone down to that level. So they've obviously been attracted by money. And again, I think it's that scalp. It was like when Worthing were down in Step 3, everyone wanted to beat Worthing. So if they got a result, probably like Shields. When you were down in step three, any other team below in the cups or anything like that, it's like they won the FA Cup or something at Wembley. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, it's like I say, there were some names that I recognise. One in particular, Gaz Pete, who's been a real thorn in the side for Shields. Scored a worldie at our place last year, He's a good wholehearted fullback, very, very good player, gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dropped two levels. You know, so but yeah, it's a fantastic result. And it's what, to me, it's what the FA Vars is about. It's a great story. Because it's if you look at other clubs, you know, Macclesfield, for instance, they're not having it their own way this year. If you look at, you know, these Phoenix clubs, Macclesfield have just sacked their manager 2 weeks ago. So it's not as easy as they think.
And it's quite deep down, it's quite happy to see, isn't it, when you see these clubs. Well, and, you know, you never want to see a club do bad, but it's like you said, it's Macclesfield, you know, they're not having it easy. And you've obviously had a good experience with the FA Vars in the past, going up to Wembley in your Shields colours. Great memories for you there.
Absolutely. So the FA Vars has more romance to it than the FA Trophy, in my view anyway. I mean, the FA Trophy doesn't really float my boat, but the Vars does, because it's the romance. It's where clubs who've got no chance whatsoever of getting to Wembley in any other way have an opportunity for a day out. It's a special competition.
Special competition. Obviously, Trev, you saw Littlehampton get there a couple of years ago, didn't you? Which was a great, great day out. And they're sadly no longer in the trophy cup this year, are they? They got knocked out, am I right?
Got knocked out of the trophy quite early, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a shame, to be honest. But with you, Trev, any sort of surprises from the Vars results this week, and any ties you're looking forward to on the first weekend of December?
Well, just having a look through, actually, FA Vars fact file from Phil Annette's on Twitter, because he does a few facts put together, which is like really handy. And look, because Saturday's second round was the last round where all the exempted clubs come in. So now it's like a straight dogfight knockout all the way through to Wembley. So that's when it gets like a little bit more interesting, I think. But there's at least there's at least two step clubs, step six clubs will be in round four, which is really good, because it's notoriously hard as a step five club, let alone six, to make it through to the next round. And Saffron Walden Town are the last FA Vars 50 members still involved. Brockenhurst and Tunbridge Wells both went out at the weekend. They've got an away trip to Tilbury, where I nearly went Saturday but didn't. And I would have seen a 4-0 win for them. So that would be a tough one for them. There's two sides, I think, still from... No, three. Yeah, no, well... There's three from the Southern Combination still in it, but only two from Sussex, because Lingfield are obviously in Surrey. Rothy got North Greenford United at home, and Eastbourne United have got Holmesdale at home, and Lingfield play a former winners Deal Town. So
you've got to remember the battle of the M25 as well, Trev.
Where's that? Oh,
Egham versus Cobham.
Egham versus Cobham. There's a fact for that one as well. Hang on.
Battle of the M25. That should we hashtag. Should we copyright that?
But it is. Yeah, fun fact for the day. It's the most common tie of the round. Egham have won both previous times by an aggregate of 7-0. So Cobham have got some go in there, I think.
Which is saying Chris there, because he could do a service station hand dryer review. But Cobham services.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, actually, I'll pick out from the weekend round, actually, is Newport Pagnell went out. So the finalists for the last 2 years are gone. Obviously, Ascot went up last year, so there was going to be new winners of the Vars anyway. So there will be two new teams in the final this
Good
year.
Stuff.
That'd be nice. It's nice to see always a new opportunity. I mean, it's great to see do a history, but it's always, you like to give everyone a chance. You know, I was saying to the guys when we lost to Alfreton, whoever lost to Alfreton in the FA Cup, and I was saying I bumped into Kane Wills and Nicky Wheeler at the services on the way back. They were making their way back, and I said, guys, you know what? If we cemented ourselves in this league this season, and it comes to May, and we're walking down May or June, whether it's walking down Wembley wearing Worthing colours, seeing us in the trophy final, I'll take that. Might not be for the money, but you know, we've had a good effort. First round for the first time in 24 years, fantastic. But you know, the FA, to have your team at Wembley, because we all know we ain't getting to Wembley in the FA Cup. The Vars and the trophy, the only ways of getting there, really. It'd be remarkable if you saw a non-league team. Has it ever happened, Trevor? Do you know the history fact files? Has a non-league team ever, I mean, not especially not in the modern years, got, and Chris is nodding his head. Chris?
Yeah, well, in the early days of the FA Cup, but you know, when even when the Football League began in 1888, there were still non-league teams winning. So, but obviously it's a different now.
I can tell you the first non-league winners of the FA Cup in 1901 were Tottenham Hotspur.
Yes, that's correct.
Look how rubbish they're doing now. That's good. I think before we move on to other things, just the FA trophy this weekend. Chris, who have Shields got?
Southport away again after Saturday. Yeah.
So what are you think? What are your thoughts?
We'll beat them because we didn't beat them in the league, so we'll probably beat them in the cup. I'm not going. It's not a competition. As I say, the trophy doesn't really float my boat, particularly away, second round. Southport was there last Saturday. Can't be bothered. Plus, I've got a function to go to on Saturday, so I couldn't have gone anyway, regardless of where we were. If we were at home, I could have gone, but not any away game I couldn't have made. So Shields will probably win because... Well, I'll say it now, Southport. I don't know if that was their regular side we played against on Saturday, but they're very, very poor. I was shocked at how bad they are. So I'd be disappointed even with a makeshift 11 with a lot of changes that Julio might make. Should still have enough to beat them in the trophy.
I'd like to think. We've got, Froome Town away, and I tell you what, it's been a nightmare to get a coach for, because that's the thing with these trophies, because they're so last minute, like the draws and stuff, and most coaches are booked up at weekends for all sorts, and managed to scramble together a minibus to get 16 fans down Tratton Sport, but I can't imagine a big following because of it's another game for Worthing in the West of England. Another long away trip. Weston got cancelled this past Saturday due to waterlogged pitch, but it hadn't been. That would have been, I think, five weekends in a row. Because after that, we've got Taunton, which is obviously down that way. We had Bath 2 weekends ago. Alfreton, which is obviously in the Midlands, but that's still a four-hour-odd journey. And it's been really hard because we want to put the service on for the coaches. But people are, I think, getting fed up of travelling so long because it's an awful long journey. You're leaving at sort of 9, 8, 9 in the morning, not getting home till 8, 9 in the evening. You know, it's a long old day. But we've got Frome. I think we should beat them, but Worthing's away form has been a bit iffy as of late. Yes, that has been in the league. Very disappointing against Alfreton in the FA Cup. Just felt like the players hadn't turned up, which was disappointing. But trophy, I'm expecting some fringe players to be in and around the squad that maybe have sort of been sat on the bench. I don't think Adam Hinchelwood, the boss, would be disrespecting Froome, because I think, like anything, it's going to be a big event for them. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting away day. I mean, I hope the journey doesn't affect them, because I think it would affect you as a person, let alone a player. Imagine going all these long distances, wouldn't it, guys?
Yeah, definitely. But you see, like, you know, South Shields on Saturday away to Southport, you know, we left at 9 a.m. We got back at 9 p.m. It is a long old day, and I was
how long?
Well, it's Liverpool. It's Merseyside, so it's you think, you know, you cross from east to west and you're there, but you're not. It's a good old journey, with a stop on a coach, which obviously doesn't go as quickly as a car. So it is a long old day.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, sometimes I think it puts off fans and it affects players because you're not going to have the big away support. A couple of standout fixtures for me otherwise is Torquay versus Yeovil, Battle of South West. And it's funny because I think it was when we were at Bath. Bath said it's the only team they will segregate would be Yeovil or Torquay because they expect some trouble. So God knows if there'll be trouble between Torquay and Yeovil, because obviously Yeovil has fallen further than Torquay over recent years. So they've had too much of a rivalry. But Southwest, Battle of the Southwest. And I think Battle of Brighton, really, or East Sussex with Whitehawk versus Lewis. Mm-hmm. Whitehawk obviously doing very well at the moment. Lewis, so-so, would you say, Trev?
All right in Europe, aren't they? Won the opening game in the Phoenix Trophy.
What do you think of that trophy? Is it a waste of time?
Funny you should say that. I've done a program piece on it today because I thought actually it's something a bit different. Because I opened up the, I always look in the non-league paper for a bit of like inspiration sometimes for some of these columns. Got so flipping many to write today, and I thought actually I might make a little piece. So I did a little bit of research on that. It's actually growing. It's only been going 3 years, but they started with seven teams from seven countries. Now they're up to 12 teams, I think it is, across 10 countries. So it's growing year on year. And you have to have exceptional circumstances to enter it. You either have to have some kind of social or cultural issue, which i.e. with Lewis would be probably the paying of the men and the women at the same level, which is why they're in. Enfield Town are in it, and so are FC United and Manchester. And if you're fan-owned or you're a rebuilt club, so maybe someone like Macclesfield or Bury would also qualify. Obviously, they're fan-owned clubs, Enfield and FC United and Manchester. That's how they've got into it as well. And what, there was one other reason as well. I can't quite remember what it was. It was literally those three reasons was how clubs get invited into it. So I wondered how I knew FC United and Manchester won the first one, which was 2 years ago. They were in it last year, got to the final, was in the San Siro.
Wow.
in Milan. It's run by an Italian team that started it, actually, and they don't actually compete in it anymore because they've literally just run the leadership of the whole competition, obviously, the way it's growing. It's something different. It's step three, you get two, you play, there's four groups of three. So you play each side home and away, so you get two away trips. Two European sides got to come to you, you know. And I mean, Lewis averaged 1,000 at the Dripping Pan. Superb, I think. It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Where do they get the money from, though, to pay for it? Because we all know European travel ain't cheap.
I don't know, to be honest.
It could be sponsorship, but I haven't seen any major sponsors or anything. Because you see Phoenix Trophy.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a non-league kind of inter-Toto Cup.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'd say. Yeah. And then the four group winners go to Italy at the end of the season in May, and then play a 4-team tournament where the winners get crowned. It's like fantastic.
Brilliant. Non-league Champions League.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Like you get like the winners of the National League, the winners of the South and North National, and you do the equivalent in other leagues around the world. Like, you know, I know obviously there's a lot more steps and stuff, but you go to Germany and they go to regional and stuff quite soon after, like second. Yeah. It would be quite fun. I mean, Trevor.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you going to try and get down to any of the games?
Well, Lewis have had one already at home, so they've got two away and one at home. I'm not sure when the fixture. Enfield don't play till the end of this month, their first game in the competition. Mm. So they're all staggered over various weeks as well. So you haven't. Yeah. It's not sort of like the Champions League where you get, you know, 17, 18 games in one week and then nothing the next week and then they all play again. Stuff like that. It's all staggered all the way through. I think to fit in with league fixtures and, you know, stuff like that as well.
Nice to see someone on my Facebook went with his young lad. He's a bit of a groundhopper, but he's worth him sort of really. And FC Oslo gave him a signed shirt to his young kid. They signed one of the match worn shirts and gave it to the kid, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if he stood outside begging for it. Like he had a shirt, please can I have your shirt? You know, like Haaland, can I have your shirt, please? But talking about Europe, I think it leads on quite nicely. Trev, you retweeted about Southend United receiving international call-ups tonight. Mauro Villette. Yeah, I'm not very good at linguistic. No. You can tell I can't barely speak English. He's been called for Sao Tome and Principe.
Yeah, very interesting, that one.
For World Cup qualifiers against Tunisia and Namibia. They're always a really complicated names to say. Or Daniel Kanu, he's got his first call up for Sierra Leone.
Kanu. Oh.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There you go.
Nor Hussein. Hussein?
Nor Hussein.
Called up for Afghanistan. Fair play to them. and I've seen on Twitter that people are calling for the postponement of their game because I think they're quite important players on Saturday. Never going to happen, though, is it? Yes. Or they're going to conveniently get it has happened.
Well, Dulwich had their game postponed against Billericay a couple of months ago when they had three players called up for international duty. When they're in the Isthmian League Prem, three players is the minimum you have to have called up to even request a game to be postponed. So the fact that Southend have only got whatever it is, 14, 15 registered players, fit players, whatever you want to call them, they ain't going to go any other way. I saw somebody tweet earlier about why is the reason they not done it? Because it's on TV. But as far as I can see, they're kicking off at 3 o'clock on Saturday. But it could be because it's the international break, the kickoff time hasn't changed. So I haven't taken a lot of notice of what the game is this week. But the fact that all the National League games kick off at 3 o'clock, just switch the TV game, give Southend another one later in the year.
Yeah, exactly.
You can stream the games when it's international break. You are allowed to stream at 3 o'clock, so you'll have to change kickoff times.
But yeah, I don't see, it's just one of those things, isn't it? It happens. Why should they not get it postponed? I mean, I've only got flipping 14 fit players as it is anyway, so that'd take them down to 11. So, that's just crazy. But while there's any, even any talk about it, really, that should matter. It's on the TV or whatever like that, Why not pick a club? Why don't they just pick a club that's got no international players whatsoever, and they wouldn't have had any problems, would they?
No, exactly. Trev, time for a roundup of Barnet. How have they been doing the last couple of weeks? Obviously, they're through the next round of the FA Cup against Curzon. I know Chris, Trev was talking to you about what you expected from that, and they did a 1-0 win. Was it a tighter match than you would have liked?
Yeah, we had Connor Stevens sent off on his debut, which was tremendous. But having having watched the first challenge back, Connor clearly won the ball. The referee actually had a very good view of it. So how the hell he deemed that the Curzon player sent the ball in the opposite direction behind him, sort of slightly to the left of him, is slightly baffling. But he did pick up a second yellow not long afterwards, which, when you're on one, you don't need to go and pick up another one. So that was a little bit silly, but it got us through to the next round of the cup. The lads dug in with 10. And obviously, because you can make the 5 substitutes in the FA Cup, makes it that a little bit easier for fresh full-time legs against the part-time. And so I think they had another couple of chances to double the scoreline. But and then Newport County away in the next round. They're 19th in League 2. So it's not the most glamorous, but chance, there's a chance there to make the third round, so can't really grumble.
Tottenham Hotspur versus Barnet in the third round, Trevor.
Oh, man, imagine that, At
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Where would your loyalties lie there?
Going to Barnet end all the time. Always go for the underdog.
That's just what, Chris and I said. That's what we said, though, wasn't it, Chris? If, Sunderland had played Shields in the Cup, if Cheltenham had played Worthing, I think you would have just, even if it was at the Valley, even if it was thing, I'd have to do it because...
Yeah.
I mean, if it was at Worthing, I might have had to go in the Worthing end because I probably would only been able to get in the Worthing end because of, I might have pretended. I might have had my Charlton hoodie on and my Worthing top or something just to sort of be split loyalties there. But yeah, you've got to do it. You've got to do it there. But Trevor, I think, you've got a massive chance against Newport. Massive chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would have preferred, to be honest, we get away ties all the time. I think something like 9 of our last 11 cup games have been away from home. That's how crap the draw is. So, like the pre-draw that I keep going on about, it's about time that started getting invoked, and then we might actually end up with a home game somewhere along the line.
Be nice, be nice. And back to league action during the week. Chesterfield loss 2-4 or 4-2. Disappointed or fully expected, because how Chesterfield are sort of with their budget and dominating the league, and obviously coming off that Portsmouth win in the FA Cup, the confidence must have been running high.
Yeah, interesting one, really, when you read everyone's thoughts and ideas on the game. I didn't go, I've been the last 2 years in a row, and an 8-hour round trip as well for me, where we are down here, is a bit too much to expect my girls to do on a Saturday as well. So that was never in question to go. But we took 664, which is about half of our average home attendance, which was really good as well. It was over 9,000 sellout, 9,667. You know, for the National League is fantastic. But I'd have been happy with a point beforehand. You know, their budget, their squad, the players they've got in it, they're a League Two side already, if not a League One side. Simple as that. Same as Wrexham and County last year, as they're showing this year in the top three in League Two. So I wasn't going to be disappointed before or after. I said before the game on Twitter that it's one game, doesn't define our season. There's 46. Some Chesterfield fans think they've won the league already, which is fine. Good luck to you. You know, you're expected to win it. There's pressure's all on you for every 46 games this year, not for us. So, I wasn't going to be fussed either way. We should have been in front in the first half. We absolutely played them off the park. Second half, they got a rocket. I watched the highlights back this morning. The four goals we conceded, Chesterfield didn't have to work hard for any of them. We literally gave them four goals. A few people questioning Dean's substitution when he took a right back off and brought a striker on at 1-0 down. And I said when I put my blog out this evening that the only thing I can think of with that was he was looking straight away to put Chesterfield on the back foot and give him another attacking option to think about rather than keeping it as it was. Some people thought we should have brought a defensive midfielder on, but you're one down, not 1-0 up. Different story. And we, you know, put a bit of respectability on the scoreline to make it 4-2, scoring twice in injury time. But, you know, I said to a few people, that's the level to win the league this year. And, you know, I'm not being funny, but we're in seconds. There's 22 other clubs underneath us that would love to swap places with us, and they're not even getting close to hanging onto their coattails. So I'm quite, you know, quite happy. Of course, I'd love to win it. Love to win the game. Love to, you know, I've got a point out of it.
Course,
but it's
kept
it tight. But it's one game of 46. So three fully, points available.
And you fully expect Chesterfield to be the dominant force that will win the league this season?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless, I mean, the only way they'll not do it, I think, is if they implode. We go on an absolute super run and they just drop a few points here and there and it puts the jitters in a little bit. But, you know, for a lot of their fans to come away and say we've been the best side that have played there and yet we shipped four, that tells you something about the rest of the division, really. Not anyone's got much of a prayer, if I'm honest.
Yeah, and they've got Leighton Orient in the next round of the cup. I mean, that's again a winnable possible tie, especially if you're saying you feel that they're sort of a League One possibly budget and level. Could that be the way they self-implode? Because we've seen it happen so many times. Teams do very well in the cup. They start getting fixture pile-ups and all that, and it starts causing problems. It happened to Barnet a few years ago, didn't it? And it happened to Horsham, for example, when they did well and, you know, got to round one and against who was it against? Carlisle, and they had so many games in hand that they could have really pushed up the Isthmian League, and they lost most of them. So good luck to them. You know, it'd be interesting to see if we can revisit this at the end of the season. We'll obviously revisit it at the end of the season, but to see if the FA Cup has made any difference. But fully expected Chesterfield as a promoted side at the end of the season.
Yes,
Chris, South Shields. Obviously, we heard you saying another game against Southport, which I can completely appreciate. You lost that one, didn't you? Am I right? Yeah, 1-0.
Well, the away form this season's been average. The performances have been excellent. Haven't been able to score enough goals, concede daft goals or world-class goals. two home wins in a row. So since we've last spoke, two home wins on the Saturday and the Tuesday, 1-0. 1-0 at home to league leaders Tamworth. It was a great spectacle for non-league football. Terrific.
I remember you were looking forward to that one, you said.
Yeah, Tamworth were top for a reason. They're really tough. They're very strong, very aggressive, physical. And it was a terrific advert for non-league football. On the Tuesday night, we played Buxton, who were our old foes from two seasons ago. And it was a bit of a throwback. They sat in. They didn't really try to get us on the break. It was a bit of a throwback to the Northern Premier League. Another tough game, but another 1-0 win. Shields have only conceded one goal at home all season in the league. That was on the opening day. So we go to Southport, whose home form has been chronic. And it was the perfect opportunity to put the away form right and get an away win. And I have not seen a more one-sided game in my life.
Really?
We must have had 90% possession. Had to, at least. Ronnie and I got pelters on Twitter after the game. We were told we were discourteous because it looks like a few Southport fans listened to us. Discourteous. Disrespectful because we were just basically on air saying that Southport were rubbish.
Yeah, Chris, let me pause you there 1 second. Let me pause you there 1 second, because when I did the commentary, Pete's obviously not here tonight, but when I did the commentary a lot more with Pete, because especially in the Isthmian League, there wasn't as much of a sort of media presence by a lot of things. So we brought a service to fans that weren't. But we always said, we're Worthing. We are Worthing commentators. Yeah. We are going to be biased to Worthing. You're Shields commentators. And you know what? I hate, the internet's brilliant in many ways, and we could talk another whole podcast series about the internet, how good or bad it is. But that's what really, really hate is you get the keyboard warriors behind the keyboard saying you're being salty because no, it's not. You know, there's been plenty of times this season that I've seen Worthing dominate, but we end up losing 4-0 because of stupid slipping a cut. So it really annoys me, mate. And
Ronnie and I have always prided ourselves on being, although we are biased, we try to be as level as possible. We always pride ourselves on that. But I would say that frustration got the better of us because they were that bad and we could not score. You know, we dominated from the back to the, you know, if you think the final third. So we were brilliant going forward. And then in the final third, absolutely hopeless. The finishing was appalling. Yes, they had a bit of luck. Their goalkeeper made two excellent saves, but no more than two excellent saves, which just goes to prove how bad our finishing was. We had two cleared off the line, hit the post. But this is it's the manner of it. We were absolutely rock bottom on Saturday night. You know, you lose 1-0, a game where you should have won perhaps 6-0, perhaps 8-0. I'm not exaggerating. Southport are very poor. And they are the worst team I've seen this season. And I'll say it again and again. If anybody's listening and thinks I'm being discourteous, tough. they were that bad. They were, the fullbacks, I mean, the right back, his brother plays for Liverpool, Kwanso, I think it is. And he was awful. They were just rubbish. So to come away with nothing was, it really hurt. It really, really hurt. So we've got, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, we're away at the Spennymoor, which is a local derby. I'm not 100% there yet. Work commitments might just get in the way. I don't know, but either way, I'll watch it because I'll either be there. If I can't get there on time, I'll watch it on TV at home. Just watch us go and win at Spennymoor, who are in fourth place. Just watch us go and win at Spennymoor when you're not expected to. Very disappointing, lads. You know, that's the lowest I've felt all season because it was a game where Shields should have had 3 points.
Chris, I wanted to ask, right, looking at the table, like I do on a Sunday anyway, and that,
yeah,
there's like, what, 3 points between 7th and 19th?
Yeah.
Is that because... is that because the clubs in the north are of similar quality, or is it just they're all just able to pick points off of each other? Because it's a little tight in the south, but nowhere near like that. And this was the same last year as well.
I think it's a bit of both. The standard, I'm going to be honest, the standard is higher, but it's not as high as a lot of people expected it to be. There are a lot of clubs who are what I would call a much of a muchness, can easily beat each other. So the away games that South Shields have kind of contrived to not win, Darlington should have won. Farsley should have won. Chorley should have won. The list goes on. So South Shields, if they sorted their away form out, would now be perhaps 9 points clear at the top of the National League North.
Yeah, I agree.
And that would be deserved, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen anything to say that we can't win the league. Scunthorpe, yes, but they've got to come to our place yet. They could easily slip into administration at some point during the course of the season. Who knows? They're not out of the woods yet by any stretch of the imagination financially. And this is probably going to be the best chance South Shields will ever have of winning the National League North.
But Chris, on the other hand, mentally, you lose three games in a row, results go elsewhere, you could be hovering above the relegation zone. That's just, the thing is, that's mental.
But lads, if you look at Saturday, you know, we lost, but then Tamworth conceded in injury time and lost.
Yeah.
So no one is actually stepping up to the plate to like take it away.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, you know, obviously the only experience I've got with National League North teams is obviously Worthing playing Alfreton in the FA Cup. Now, as I said to the guys, you guys on the group, again, it's another one of those things. I don't think Worthing turned up particularly well. But again, I don't think Alfreton played particularly well either. And if that's their standard and their level, which apparently that some of their fans say that's one of the best performances they've had this season, they're fifth. They're sitting two places behind you.
Yeah, well, we played them on the opening day and they were bang average. And I know they've had some players out that day. They've made one or two improvements, but they were bang average that day. So I speak as if, you know, I'm not going to... I took umbrage with being told we were disrespectful because that's, you know, I really took umbrage
But you're on South Shields Radio. Yeah. You're on your own... not South Shields Radio. Don't give them any airtime. You know what they're like.
No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're on your own radio channel, mate. Why do you need to apologise?
But we generally, you know, we're pretty middle of the road. And I mean, you know, the game at Warrington a few weeks before when Warrington came back to draw 2-2, we were magnanimous. Because Warrington put a tremendous shift in, and they're a decent side.
Yes, mate.
But no, it was that was the lowest I've been since. Well, I can't remember.
Yeah, you'll feel like I mean, I'm moving on to Worthing. I've seen us lose. I don't know if like it was before the last podcast recording or not, but to see them three away games in a row, I think it was just before the last podcast recording, losing four in a row. Then obviously a great away day to Alfreton in the FA Cup. I cannot fault the day. We had some great press coverage. You know, I was managing to get our name out there, you know, with the Supporters Association, with the transport. Great sing-song and taking over one of the local pubs, which, funnily enough, weren't expecting us. Despite the fact it was known as the away pub when Alfreton were doing well for themselves. They had one barmaid on there, was scrambling around trying to get someone else to come and cover. Good old sing-song. Great coach journey up there. Just a fantastic away day for mates. Unfortunately, players didn't turn up and ruin that, but they couldn't ruin the mood. We had a brilliant day. And I have to say, despite the fact I thought Alfreton were bang average, as you said, I think their fans were brilliant, very welcoming. Their chairman, bless him, he tweeted the Supporters Association account saying, if you let me in your away area, I'll buy your fans a drink and everything like that, which is really nice of him. He owns the Impact Arena. He's the owner of the club, you know, name of the club and everything like that. And, you know, it was that's what guts me about, you know, and I hope that we might be able to do something in the trophy and get an away day up in the north because it's playing, you know, for years and years and years, every blimmin' trophy game or FA Cup game is against a team in the same area of vicinity, which I know, but, you know, there's never from another league or, you know, you've got the Southern League, you've got, you know, all over. I'd have loved to, but it's always the Isthmian. It was always Lewis. It was always like, you know, I don't know, like a team there, but to have Alfreton away and see somewhere completely different, tick another name off on the football list was fantastic. But we just didn't turn up, but we turned it around on the Tuesday night and we beat Havant and Waterlooville 3-0. And again, Chris, I know it went our favour, but I could have, if it wasn't for their goalkeeper, I could have seen us doing double figures on them. Their goalkeeper, they got man of the match, a goalkeeper. Havant were truly awful. Havant are in turmoil right now. And I know, Trev, you've seen how, you know, there was a leak of the leak of the fines list, which we were giving the keeper a little bit of abuse for. Our keeper, you're getting £100 fine for letting that goal in. And I don't know if it was getting to him a little bit, but that keeper, bless him, he saved them. He saved their bacon. Havant, if they carry on, they're going to be in the Isthmian next season. No shadow of a doubt. Or maybe the Southerner, depends on where the split goes.
I was just going to ask you about that, James. Not just Havant, but Dover as well. I mean, Havant a 10 adrift of Welling, the next above Dover.
Yeah.
Dover a 5 adrift. of Welling. He saw Havant last week. I haven't seen either Dover or Havant this year. I saw Welling obviously when they came to Woodside, and I saw Tunbridge and Hampton and Richmond last week as well. But from what you saw last week with Havant though, and only 6 points, how do they get out of the mess they're in? Or don't they?
I don't think they do, mate. They truly all of my mates that go with it, you know, some of the faces, all of just the general chit chat around the ground and after, they ain't getting out of it. They're screwed. I don't know what it was. You know, I couldn't put my finger on it. It was just one of the worst teams I've seen at Woodside for a long time. Yeah. And 3-0 was kind to them. Honestly, 3-0 was kind to them. We needed that result. It's a shame we couldn't take advantage because obviously, as I said, 12 goals conceded in away games. It would have been a perfect opportunity to, you know, get rid of that minus 11 away goal difference that we've sort of succumbed to over the past few weeks. But I think it's, you know, because they're not hybrid. They are full. Are they hybrid or full time?
They're hybrid, haven't
they? Hybrid. So, yeah. You know, obviously, we know Callum Keeley went to Worthing from Worthing to their last season. He's already left and gone to Eastbourne. Maybe he just saw a sinking ship there and thought, you know, I don't really want to be playing the Isthmian League again. Because at the moment, as you said, they're 10 points off safety. And I know there's a long way to go. But that could be even more with the games in 19th, Western, 20th, and 21st. They've got games in hand, which could make that gap even more. Yeah. I think they need to get rid of the manager. You know, I don't always agree that sacking the manager, but I think it's that time of season now. They need to think, hang on a second, where are we going to? We need some sort of kick up the backside, and without it, he's obviously not working.
Yeah, been there long though.
No, he hasn't. But when that finalist comes out, and if that's the attitude he's got around the club,
but that wasn't his though, was it?
Was it not though?
No.
Because it.
No.
Are you sure that wasn't like, you know, because he could just play it down and they got good PR and said, no, it wasn't his.
No.
But Callum Keeley left the club at the same time.
Yeah, that's just a clash, I think. I mean, I know, you know, everyone's got a version of Steve King. Everyone's differs, to be honest, I think. I think the one thing that someone else pointed out actually the other week was he went out and signed Tom Bonner, who had retired but played for him at Dartford. And the guy's not kicked a ball for what, 6 months from the end of last season to when he signed him. If that's kind of the best that he's able to bring in, though, then you can tell they're in trouble and don't look like they're going to get out of it. But I mean, if you look at the North though, Darlington has started winning. Like, they've got a 4-point gap to Rushall, and Bishops and Gloucester are fairly close together point wise, and you know, like, you string two results, you get out of that bottom four. Yeah. But you look at the bottom of the South, you know, Welling managed to pick up a needed win at the weekend against Slough, who are down there as well. You just can't see them picking up enough points, can you? Even though there's plenty of games left to play this season.
But they've just signed Ryan Seager from Dorking, Mo Fowle, who was amazing for Enfield a couple of years ago. He was just banging them in, and it was a time where Ollie Pearce was racing for him for the Golden Boot, and Ollie managed to top it with that goal at sealed promotion, or one of the goals at sealed promotion for us, or as champions, I should say, promotion. I can't remember. Yeah, as promotion. They've got the players, but something, the glue ain't working. You know, they're not, whether it's too many big names in the level of non-league that they are, that they're just not bonding well enough, or, you know, I don't know, but it's going to be another thing interesting, because I think at the moment, as I saw, I mean, even their fans, they were just like, I think they were just laughing because it was that bad, and they were lucky it was only three. But that's non-league for you. That's it. You know, I was quite glad this weekend our game against Western got called off, because it would have cost the Support Association a lot of money, because the club decided they didn't need any seats anymore for the bus, leaving us 25 short, which would have ended up costing us over 700 quid if we hadn't sold them. So we got a refund from the coach because it was cancelled on Friday. And good on Western. Some clubs need to take note, because Western knew it was going to be waterlogged. They said there's no chance this game coming on. They cancelled it Friday lunchtime. They got a referee down there. And I think that is a proper football team. It ain't... what club did it to Worthing a few years ago? They're in the National North now. Bishop Stortford. They did it to us on the day. Dover did it to us as the club was turning up on the coach. And that doesn't... I mean, I know now that the cost of coaches are not cheap. you know, that coach to Dover would have been over £1,000 for the club, and they wouldn't. And you know, as a supporters association, we wouldn't have been able to refund them because our term, we have to put terms and conditions and say that if the coach travels, it's travelled, it's done its duty. We can't refund you because we're a supporters association. We ain't got the money for that. But it's good when you see clubs like Western. So fair play if you're a Western fan. Thank you. And, you know, make sure the thanks gets onto the club because it saved our bacon and not from one more ways than another. Guys, before we wrap up, a couple of things. As we're down in the south at the moment, I just want to say thank you for social media for scouting out those scumbags that went into Worthing United, which are a counties league side near us with three hooligans. Well, hooligans is a kind word for them. Absolute unrepeatables went into it and put all the broke into the tea hut, put all the chip fryers on, left them on. Luckily, someone obviously found them in enough time. But Worthing United haven't got money. That burns down. That's their source of revenue gone months on end. It could be the end of the club. And the I think I'm not sure. I was just looking at the social media tweets. Don't know if you saw that, Trev. But apparently, one of them might have been a coach at Worthing College.
Yeah, Worthing College or Brighton College or something like that. Yeah.
Can you believe that, Chris? Yeah, yeah, he's a teacher / coach at one of the colleges, and he wasn't even in. Yeah,
yeah, wearing the tracksuit or something, wasn't he? From wherever he is actually at. Yeah. Amazing stupidity.
I mean, talk about screwing your sort of your coaching career, whatever the hell you're doing. But I mean, how moronic? I mean, they're so thick. Some of these kids are so thick. I mean, why is that even funny? You know, when we've all been young kids, we think doing something a bit naughty is funny. That's normally throwing a snowball at a window when it's snowy, or like, you know, knocking down ginger. But setting fire, well, trying to set fire to a tea hut, which could have caused, you know, the only thing that would have been karma for that, if they set fire to a chip fan, it's back in their face. That would have been quite funny. But, you know, it's thank God. And I think the wonders of social media have identified them, and details have been passed to the police. Obviously, police won't comment on things like that, but I'm sure it will result in some form of, well, I'll probably get told off and sent back home to their mum and dad, but people like that need a sorting out, you know what I mean? Like, they'll but you know, that's disgusting. You see it too often at non-league, don't you? You see these things burning down. I mean, it was only on the last episode that it was at Gloucester City's Kitman's washing machine set on fire. It's completely, like, you know, ruined all of the away kit. And not only that, his mum was in hospital or something like that, his nan. Just awful, isn't it? And, you know, fire is scary. But if you listen and you think about going and trying to burn down your local non-league club, just don't do it.
Absolutely. Right?
We should do a poster. Don't do it. If I point our fingers. Woking sat their manager today. Trev, you decided you thought that was not a surprise. I mean, they're languishing sort of mid to bottom table of the National League after a very strong season last year. What's gone wrong?
Poor recruitment this summer. Too many injury prone players. So they've had to sign more players who blatantly aren't good enough. And you paid a price for it. You are surprised, actually. I think that, you know, the penultimate straw that broke the camel's back was last week at Ramsgate, where I expect them to get turned over as well because they've been playing so poorly, and losing at Oxford City this week. I'm not surprised he's got the bullet, but they've got, again, big budget, owners that want Football League status. They've never actually been there. I think the playoffs last year was the best any manager's ever achieved at Woking as well. So, but you don't get the time to turn things around. It's a cutthroat business. You don't get the results. There's the door. Off you go.
See you later. Yeah.
He's still a good manager, though, Darren Sile. I mean, he's not, you know, he did well at Yeovil, did well at Stevenage, in the Football League as well, and you know, it's an attractive job for someone who wants it. I don't know who's going to be on the shortlist, but
I know someone that might be in Worthing might be all targeted, because any sort of southern club that comes up is always his name's linked.
Yeah, you're right.
But he's just signed a new 3-year contract, so it'd be costly to get out of it. But any sort of club above Worthing was always going to attract the name of Adam Hinchelwood. I mean, I can't see him going, but you never know. Because you never know someone's mindset.
Full-time club, though, as well, so...
Yeah. Not far from where he is now. He doesn't have to uproot his family. You know, Woking.
Yeah.
Woking's only about 45 minutes to an hour from here, so it's not that far.
No. But he'll be linked.
He'll be linked, yeah. Hopefully, Adam, if you listen to this, please don't go. I have to rip up my Christmas present to you. I haven't got anything. Sounds like a Pete thing, that, doesn't it? Yeah. What Pete would say. He gave me his cut, his grafter t-shirt, a Rebel Yell t-shirt. Okay. And last but not least, Wildstone. Trev, you mentioned this to me. I wasn't too aware of it, but Wildstone have been granted permission for a new ground, or a new bit of land has been allocated.
They have, yeah. Just less than 3 miles from where they play at the moment at Grosvenor Vale, have been given an earmarked an 18-acre site by Hillingdon Council. Very much in its infancy of it being announced, so be a while, I think, for funding and stuff to be put in place before they go. But that would or should help push them to the next level to go full-time, because they are the only full part-time team left in the National League. So as Dorking well know, you've got to go full-time to survive at that level.
And Tony won't be going and sort of stepping in at 85% to go and take over and build you a new ground this time.
Who knows, eh? Maybe that'll become our new ground, and then the hybrid will just be our training complex, you know. It might allow Wildstone the beauty of ground sharing.
There you go.
But only for 85% of the time.
Ask Trev for permission. Any shout outs before we wrap this up, guys?
Yeah, I just want to shout out for Pete. He's not very well, so shout out for Pete. Get well soon, mate.
Get a headache pill, Daniel.
Yeah, and Ronnie. Yeah, Ronnie hasn't been so well lately, so big shout out for Ronnie. He's had a bit of a tough time lately, so shout out to him. One thing I would like to say just before that is my parting shot. Trev, you know this name. JJ Hooper.
Oh, God. Go on.
Is just starting to pee off a few Blythe fans. That's just starting to just get in motion. So I'll just put that out there. There's a few fans for having that attitude.
But I think we all know about that. And I think I might buy you a Sunderland with his name, a Sunderland shirt with his name on the back or something. Just to wind you up.
Oh, man.
He's what they never learn, will they?
It didn't take long.
I just don't understand. You know, if it's followed you around, would you not ever think, maybe I need to take a long, hard look at myself and think I need to sort my attitude out?
No, because he gets paid.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He's a club to stop paying him.
Yeah, you think the clubs would learn, wouldn't you?
Bloody hell. Well, you think Graham Fenton would learn, and John Shaw, who were at Blythe, who had him at South Shields. You think they'd learn?
No. Silly buggers. Trev, anything from you, mate?
No.
There you go. Easy peasy. Where are we heading off to this forthcoming week and weekend? Well, you said tomorrow, Chris. Well, it'll be Tuesday just gone when this comes out. Where were you at?
Either Spennymoor, if I can get there on time, or watching that game on TV.
Yeah, fantastic. And anything at the weekend for you?
No, because it's Southport away in the FA Trophy.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
So for me, it'll be next Tuesday, South Shields at home to Curzon Ashton.
Nice one. Trev, how about yourself, mate?
I think I might pick up a stream tomorrow night, actually, the Tuesday night. I don't fancy, I'm not going to go out anywhere.
You're going to go listen to Pete on National League TV?
No, it won't be worthy.
I wouldn't either.
To be fair, I don't know.
You escaped him on the podcast tonight, mate. You don't want to make it, yeah.
I'm off to Cray Valley on Saturday for the FA Trophy game against Hampton and Richmond. So catch up with few Cray Valley boys, and also Hampton. I've got a few XBs that I saw last week. I'll see again. And then next week, I'm aiming for Tunbridge and Averley on Tuesday and Barnet Oldham on Wednesday.
Oh, ground up extraordinaire in the next couple of weeks, aren't you?
A little.
Yeah, a little bit. You've had a few miles in. I'm obviously at Worthing tomorrow night. I can't make the long trip down to Froome. And I'm quite glad. I did say, you know, although I would never plan to go to Western, I said to Spencer and Bigsy, two of my mates at Worthing, I said, I bet in some weird way you were really quite relieved you didn't have to go all that way again. They were like, don't even say. It's like, it was such a relief when I found out it was cancelled. He like looked to the sky and went, thank you very much. They had a week off and went to Lancing. But Worthing playing Dartford, taking me old man, which I haven't been to a Worthing game for. Last time we went to a Worthing game, it was Horsham versus Worthing in the Sussex Senior Cup, the season of COVID. And Trev, you've been to Horsham's ground. Well, obviously you have, because we did the live podcast there anyway, even if you haven't been for football. You know where the clubhouse is, and you've got the bar, that sort of metal bar, which is just like the fencing to stop people falling on. Yeah. So my dad and me were having a beer. He had his hand on the bar. I mean, he should have put a lottery ticket on that night. Practice during the warm-up, a ball comes and smashes his hand against the bar, in absolute agony. I mean, you had that small spot and everything like that, fracturing his hand, and he had to have an operation on it. So he said to me, he said, Worthing haven't got any things like that. I said, no, Dad, don't worry. Don't worry, we'll be... so Chris, it's a very weird... Like, as much as I love Horsham, I have a lot of respect for the club, and I've done being friends of the podcast, that their clubhouse is literally directly behind the goal. There's no standing or seating, and it's up on a higher level. So kind of the trajectory of a ball, if you missed it, would literally would go bang. And I'm sure it wouldn't be the first or the last time that either, but bloody hell, and lucky him. So I said, we'll protect you tomorrow night.
Yeah, look after him.
Yeah, we'll put him right in there with the young hooligan youth boys and get him jumping up and down or something. We won't do. If any of you are listening and you fancy a little feature of your club in one of our roundups, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us at our socials at the PNLP. Share the podcast around. Share it, because I think we'd love to have a few more listeners, wouldn't we, guys?
We would.
Yeah. And yeah, enjoy your week of non-league football. Thanks again, guys. Lovely evening tonight. Thank you so much. Good company. Happy birthday again, Chris. Don't do anything too silly this weekend after the conference. We'll look forward to being back with you in a couple of weeks. But from me, James, Chris and Trev, we'll be seeing you.
Bye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.